At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is in the house. Derek Kramer is producing. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Why use that term loosely when speaking about Roger?
It's full go day, Tony.
I didn't call you names. Why are you calling me names?
You're always calling me names. People don't hear during the breaks. The abuse I take in this place.
Well, at least I have the decency to do it off the air. Not
yes,
like
you do.
You're wide open.
I'll give you that credit, Roger. Yeah, it's a great weekend. Little League football kicks off today. In fact, I think Eden and Hamburg are going at it. We have college football kicking off. NFL preseason football wrapping up. Next Saturday is scrimmage Saturday. That's a big one.
And today's full go day. The full pads are on today for the high school guys. They'll be hidden today.
Yes, they look forward to that. And as I said, there's next week you really want to tune in because of all the different scrimmages, get a good look at some of the teams all at once. And then, of course, the week after that starts on Thursday, right?
It'll be a Thursday game, I believe. NT and Niagara Wheatfield at NT, I believe.
All right, count me in.
Then what do we have to do? We have to have a single order today because we got to be prepared for next Saturday when we're going to be ready to judge a double order of wings?
Oh, we're going to judge more than a double order of wings, Raj.
What's a double order? 20, right?
20, yeah.
Last year we had 20, and at least on, I don't know how you had it.
I had a little bit more.
Sitting at the picnic table, having them deliver the wings to you, you didn't have to walk around and...
No, I did. What I do is, and we're talking about Wing Fest that's coming up next week. What I like to do is walk around, see what's out there. I heard interviews with Drew Serza during the week of new places that'll be there. Some the standards that have always been there. We'll go check those out. Because when I'm sitting down, I don't get to see or I don't know where the wings are coming from. When Roger walks around, he's judging them right at the booth. So, you know, he has to kind of smile and fake it if it's a bad wing. I don't. If it's a terrible wing, gone. In fact, we're going to have to have a little conversation with Drew. Two no-nos for this year's Wing Fest. Ranch dressing. No, this is Buffalo, New York. We don't cotton no ranch dressing with our wings, so we're going to have to talk to him about that. That and vegetarian wings. Francis, you in on vegetarian wings?
Oh, that sounds
He's cringing. That's right up there with peanut butter
than the
and jelly wings.
Burger.
I did some, I hope you know, I did some, my preparation for this goes back almost a month.
How's that?
Well, last year we had this hotel from Binghamton that came in and was one of the contestants as far as judging wings.
Mm-hmm.
So this year when I went to Binghamton for the BCANY, I did go to the hotel to get an order of wings.
Oh, really?
So I've been starting early, Anthony.
Did you tell them that you heard about it at Wingfest?
Well, that's no, how you, you know, because I had sent Drew a text because I couldn't remember. I lost my paperwork I had from the Wingfest, so I asked him where it was. He gave me the address, and he said, you know, make sure you mention the name and the Wingfest and all that. And I could have eaten the wings on the house, but I settled for a Molson's Canadian.
Nice, good call there.
So, hey, yeah, even in Binghamton, that far, you know, the other border, the Pennsylvania-New York border, they have Molson's Canadian down there.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, as I said, Little League football gets kicking off today. My Niagara Falls Junior Football Club Cobras, we open up tomorrow at 1 o'clock behind LaSalle Preparatory School on Buffalo Avenue against TTFA. Great organization. Really looking forward to that. Shout-outs to head coach Chuck Fink, Bobby Dunn, Mark Nicoletti, Sal Mangione, Joe Fabiano, and congratulations to our assistant coach, Joe Kinney, who is getting married today at the Niagara Falls Air Force Base. So way to go, Joe. We're all happy for you.
Is that before or after the football game?
No, it's today. Tomorrow we play. So he's going to miss out on the first 2 weeks of football. But
why these people, can't they plan ahead? I mean,
hey, it's just no thinking going in. But that's if you know Joe Kinney, you'll understand why.
Oh, gee. Boy, I don't even slam doors that hard, Anthony.
Well, Chuck got him you know, a lot worse than I did during the week. He said, I'd like to congratulate our assistant coach, Joe Kinney. He finally graduated from high school. Oh, man, that was rough. But anyway, it's time for news and notes, and I am going to kick this one off, Francis. The Booster Club of Williamsville North High School Cross Country team wanted me to tell you that they are having a car wash today. It's at Williamsville North High School, and it is going on from now until 12 o'clock. So if you need your car wash, head on over to Williamsville North High School for a great cause fundraiser for Williamsville North High School Cross Country.
All right, before we get into the current players, let's talk about a former one. St. Francis grad Jake Delagala made his NFL debut for the Bengals. He went 10 of 12 for 94 yards, two TDs, and no interceptions.
Nice. How about congratulations to West Seneca West's Matt Myers,
right,
who has been named starting quarterback for UB. Now, the article I read listed him as a redshirt freshman, but I saw him play in a game last week. So what is it? If you only play a little bit, you can still be redshirt?
Yeah, they changed the rules for redshirt. Redshirts are now allowed to play something like 3 or 4 games or something like that, and you can still be considered a redshirt. And Derek's on the phone. He might know a little more. But, yeah, so he was still considered a redshirt even though he got action last year.
It makes sense because I know on an injury red shirt you could play at 3 games, maybe 4. I don't know the number, but I mean, if you get hurt early enough during the year, and then get injured, you could still be, you know, that can become a red shirt year. So if you can do it with injuries, why can't you do it otherwise?
Yeah, the experience there with the injury redshirts there, it's pretty much something to try to save some eligibility with these players, especially when it's like a player that's younger into their college career, especially you want to try to hold on to that eligibility and something along those lines.
No, the fact that Matt played, I think it was a couple of snaps in one game last year,
yeah,
so you could still redshirt.
You could still manage to redshirt. I think I think you can get away with 2 games worth of wiggle room. I'm not sure on the eligibility rules verbatim.
Okay. Because I remember when I watched him go in, and it was a garbage time of a game. And in fact, Matt scored a touchdown, but it was called back on a penalty. And they're like, what are they doing? They're supposed to be redshirting him. So, okay, cool. So he will be the starting quarterback at UB. Good luck to him. Anything else for news and notes?
All right, I think that's about it.
I think
we got to get our bigger news of the day. A couple big news.
Yeah, there is. And we're going to start off since today is we're previewing the upcoming season. Last week we previewed Monsignor Martin, and much thanks to Joe Licata, Bishop Tymon head coach, for spending time with us, getting us up to date. Today we're going to talk 8-man football. We're going to look at Class D and Class C. And if we have some time, we'll start with B, and then we'll continue next week. Okay, Francis.
All right, so the big news this week, Wednesday night, Maple Grove decided to go to eight-man football. They announced that Wednesday evening. They just didn't have the players. So they came in. 19 players showed up on Monday, according to Coach Justin Hamft. They were originally thinking about a merger, but they had 24 guys sign up, so they thought, you know, we were going to be fine. We can go Maple Grove only. Then again, only 19 showed up, and you know they made the decision. It would be smarter for them to play eight man. It would be safer for them to play eight man football.
So they joined Frewsburg, as now we have 2 8-man teams. You know, I have mixed emotions about it because I'm thinking that if I was a senior, I'd be extremely upset. But then again, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to football. I don't know if today's kids would look at it the same way that I do, but I'm just saying how I would feel.
He did say his seniors took it real tough. But then again, the alternative is not playing.
Right. And I would rather do something than nothing. So now who will Frewsburg and Maple Grove play?
That's the
Section 5.
Mostly Section 5 teams. There's a lot of teams in Northern New York. I guess that's currently what they're trying to figure out. Interestingly enough, there was a week 7, there was an 8-man game scheduled between Frewsburg, who was already an 8-man, and Maple Grove. We were told a few weeks ago that game was dropped and Frewsburg decided to play against an 8-man opponent. So they're still trying to figure out the schedule. Ken Stoll, Section 6 football chairman, still trying to figure out. The only change that's been official so far is that CSP has filled their game up.
Yeah, I was just going to ask what kind of a monkey wrench this threw into the schedule for Class D.
Yes, it was good that they could come up with that game because that's the first game that was Maple Grove was scheduled to play. They were scheduled to open up. In fact, early in March, they had an article in the news, CSP Maple Grove rematch in the opener. Fortunately, you know, cheese sausage pepperoni was able to find an opponent. Anthony, my viewpoint on this is, and, you know, it's just me, why not at the 11th hour combine Maple Grove and Frewsburg? They could play what would be, you know, comparable to the Maple Grove schedule through the years, throughout the season, as far as, you know, they would be playing Class D opponents, but they would not be eligible for Class D because if you combine the two schools, they would fall, you know, even under the formula, they would fall into schools, the C classification. Yeah. So fine. But if you still let them play that schedule out and they can play consolation, you know, in the consolation bowls, they could still get to play 9 games in regular 11-man football.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have playoffs then, so it kind of...
Okay, but don't you think the seniors, especially the seniors, even if... Okay, so they can't qualify for the state championship, but at least they could play a season of 11-man football. Now, if they're going to play 8-man football, are they going to play for a state championship in 8-man? Is there such an animal?
Is there even a playoff for 8-man?
That's my point.
Yeah, I don't know. No, a lot of there's a fair amount of teams. I want to say there's at least a half dozen, maybe a dozen. So they might have something, although it's going to be tough. I think the other thing that I think why some of these teams go to 8-man is, you know, or they want to be on their own is because of school pride. And they like being on their own. And I know it's understand there's some logistical issues with kids moving from, you know, having to go from one school to another for practice. But
it sure didn't seem to bother cheese, sausage, and pepperoni last year. All they did was win a state championship.
Is that all?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
No, Roger. Roger, I hear what you're saying, and I fully understand.
It just boggles my mind.
Well, maybe it's something that will be looked at in the future. Maybe it has to do with just a timing issue right now. I don't know. We're not there. We're not privy to the discussions.
I just feel so bad for these kids at both schools that have to play 8-man. Especially the seniors.
And maybe it'll wind up being the best thing. Maybe the kids will play it, discover that it's a lot of fun, and you know they'll have the time of their lives. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. You know, I'm curious to see map-wise throughout the state how many 8-man teams there are. Where are they primarily located? Is it a?
It's a lot of Northern New York. So a lot of, you know, smaller areas, smaller communities are going to eat, man.
Right, you're not going to see it in Nassau. In Long Island.
You're not going to see it in the middle of Syracuse.
You don't even see Class D schools in Nassau. But they say Section 5, that supposedly that's what Frewsburg is playing, you know, other than the originally scheduled game against Maple Grove, they were playing Section 5 schools. How far north is that? Lake Ontario is the border.
All right, let's get into looking at.
But real quick, there's a lot of speculation out there in social media. The only game that's actually been scheduled is that Geneseo. It's hosting CSP. That's the only game that's been rescheduled so far.
Okay. All right, let's take a look at Class D. We're looking at Cattaraugus Little Valley, Franklinville, Salamanca, Randolph. CSP, as Roger alluded to. So Class D is pretty tough. And you got several good teams. You have teams with returning, veteran players returning. Let's break that down, Francis.
All right, we'll start with the state champions, CSP, Wolfpackers, like you to call them, cheese, sausage, pepperoni. They return 5 starters, but they lose their entire offensive line. So
that hurts.
That really hurts. They do return Garrett Hinsdale and then 6'4 wide receiver Cameron Barmore. So I think they're going to be okay. They're still the team to beat, but it's going to be tougher this year for the Wolfpack.
Well, the bullseye's on their back.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, you lose the whole offensive line. You know, now you're going to really find out how good Hinsdale and Barmore are. Can they survive with a revamped offensive line?
Hey, but what we don't know is the guys that are coming up filling those spots. You know, they could be better. You never know. We have to see them in action. Okay, go ahead, Francis.
Franklinville, Ellicottville, they moved down from Class C to Class D, where they usually are. They went 5-5 last year, won the Chuck Funky Bowl. They returned 9 starters on each side of the ball.
That's big.
Yeah, and they returned QB Logan Frank, who started last year as a sophomore. Coaching change, Jason Marsh and Chad Bartoszak switched spots between Salamanca and Franklinville, Ellicottville. So they're supposed to be really good this year. I think it's going to be CSP and Franklinville, Ellicottville in the final.
Well, you've got the recipe of veteran players coming back, continuity of the quarterback, and you have veteran coaching. That's a real good recipe.
I got a question that'll stir up a hornet's nest.
This will
surprise you, Anthony, me stirring up a hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2 years ago, Evil Frank went as far as they did, right?
Right.
And they said, look, if you're going to combine the schools and they're too good, we got to move them up to Class C. Right?
Right.
Now they're back down to Class D.
Correct.
The question before us, why wasn't CSP moved up to Class C this year? For the same reason.
He's got to do it every week.
I don't have a good answer for you, Roger.
We'll get back to you on that,
Inquiring
Roger.
Minds want to know, Anthony. Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
Troublemaker. Go ahead,
Thank
Francis.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Salamanca, as I said, they have Chad Bartoszak coming over from Evil Frank. They went 4-5 last year. They returned 5 starters on each side of the ball. Key returnees Cody Shinners, Jarrett McKenna, and Lucas McKenna. Randolph, they, of course, were combined with Frewsburg last year. They went 6-3 and playing in Class D, just missed the playoffs. They returned 2 starters only on each side of the ball. Their key returnees are Tyler Hine, Josh Brown, and Alex Finch.
Okay, as far as the playoffs, when you get to Class D, Anthony, all the teams make the playoffs. Originally, it was when it was 6 teams. I guess it would have been in Week 8. Teams 1 and 2 would have drawn a bye. The third place finisher would play the sixth place finisher. The fourth play the fifth. Winner of 4-5 would have played 1 in Week 9. Winner of 3-6 would have played 2 in Week 9. Now, I'm only assuming that 2 will play 5. I'm sorry, 4 will play 5 in Week 8. And then the winner there will play 1, and 2 will still play 3 in Week 9.
It makes a lot of sense. All right, before we get into Class C.
We got one more team.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, Cattaraugus Little Valley.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
They went 1-8 last year, played in Class D, returned 5 starters on each side of the ball, returned Vinny Garscarella and Hunter Fuel.
That's the one thing that we noticed throughout Class D is most of the teams have a good amount of returning players. And you want to see that. You know, you don't want the cupboard to be empty going into the season. All right. So when we come back, we're going to get into Class C. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. We'll be back with more after this.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. Mr. Roger Weiss in studio as well. We're previewing the upcoming season. We're taking a look at Class D. We just wrapped that up. Going to get into Class C. You had something that you wanted to throw out before we got into C's, Francis.
Yeah, we've been talking, Frank and I have been talking to Cardinal O'Hare. They're having a little trouble with numbers this season. They have about 25 guys, so they should be okay for their first game, but they're really trying to get more players, and if they get hit with an injury bug next week with scrimmage Saturday, or some sort of virus comes through, their first game could really be in jeopardy. So if you're at Cardinal O'Hare and you're thinking about coming out for football,
do it.
Now's the time to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, one of the kids that played last year at our league at Niagara Falls Junior Football Club, I had heard he was going to O'Hara, extremely talented kid. So they may have to get some of the younger kids on there. Do they have a JV, or would JV be in jeopardy?
Yeah, they always have a JV. I haven't heard anything that – I haven't heard specifically about their JV or what they would do with that, but that'll be interesting.
Something to keep our eye out for sure. Let's talk about Class C North and start off with Akron.
Yeah, they're coached by Andrew Klaus. They went 4-4 last year, lost in the quarterfinals, returned 5 starters in the offense, 7 on defense. They have to replace 2 big guys in Millard Young and Brandon Orr this year, and we'll see. They're going to try to maybe take that next step this year, win a postseason game and see if they can get to the stadium.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure that's everybody's goal, is to get to the stadium. Now you're talking about a team coming up next, Cleve Hill. Veteran coach. He's done it all in his career. He's had an amazing career at that. Great program. What could you tell us about Cleve Hill?
Yeah, they return 5 starters on each side of the ball. They do lose 2 big horses, Aaron Waller and Javon Thomas. They'll be tough to replace. They do have Chris Diem coming back, who's their fullback. They're going to try to feature him as their running back. And then they have an interesting QB competition going on between Hassan Sanders Jr. and Jaden Wilson, so watch out for that. And then they have this really nice wide receiver, Thomas Johnson, for the Golden Eagles.
One thing you think about Cleve Hill, they've had a pipeline of talent going into the school for a number of years. I don't think replacing players is as big a deal anymore.
Not at Cleve Hill, it is, and not at all.
You just keep churning them out. It's just, okay, who's next?
Oh, it's going to be, it's a rebuilding year. I says, yeah, tell Glenn Graham that. There's no such animal. He doesn't rebuild, he reloads.
Exactly. Let's see. Where are we now? Let's go to JFK.
Yeah, they went 2-7 last year, but they returned 8 starters in offense, 7 on defense. They also bring back their dual threat QB, Jack Slayton, who accounted for over 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. So watch. They also returned their other leading rusher, Santonio Emery. So they could be big this year. Expect them to make the playoffs and maybe make some noise.
Well, you talk about a team that's bringing back players, guys that started with offense and defense. It's great and all, but do they put the work into the offseason to make themselves that much better? It's one thing to say you're a returning starter, but what did you do to get better? And that's where we need to find out. Did they do enough to get better?
The Roy Hart Rams, the next team, they've broken away from Barker. So they're on
a divorce?
Yeah, divorce. I don't know if divorce is the right term. But
separation?
It's not an official divorce, just a legal separation at this point.
Got it. Who's got custody? Who's got custody of the football?
Right now, it's Roy Hart. They have they're coached by Marcus Weiss, and they return Charlie Brunning, Charlie Brigham, Ian Whitford, and Walter Samaka.
Is Roy Hart? Barker hooking on with some Section 5 team? What about
Barker. Where are they?
They might be either with Medina or they're with a Section 5 team. We'll have to check. Once we get to the B's.
Medina, Barker, Lindenville.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ed Barker. Thank you.
Next up is Silver Creek Forestville, who plays in the North. As Roger pointed out, they are not in the North geographically. They're coached by Sean Helmer. Went 2-6 last year, returned 7 starters.
I was going to say, they do have some veterans coming back.
Yeah, including Angel Carbello, Dom Jamison, and Sam Brodick. Dom Jamison will take over at quarterback.
They're an interesting team. They'll bring some athleticism and upset somebody along the way. So never sleep on Silver Creek.
Wilson's an interesting team. Obviously, we know Bill Atlas very well.
I love Bill Atlas. Let me tell you something. Coach is building a great program at Wilson. This year, they're debuting their brand-new facility.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It looks gorgeous. Absolutely. I don't think it's quite finished yet, close to it, but what I've seen so far, it's beautiful. It's a great place to play, great environment. I get excited whenever we go down to Wilson to play. I love going down there. And Wilson's one of those schools that is super competitive in every sport. They're going to bring it.
Look what they did to Southwestern. They almost knocked off Southwestern a year ago in that semifinal.
Twice, actually.
Well, I know. The one I had in mind was the semifinal.
No, they actually played in both in the semifinal the past 2 seasons.
Oh, 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
right.
2 years in a row, the game come down by less than a score.
And you're talking about, a Southwestern team that had Snyder?
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
They're for real.
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
They returned 8 starters in each side of the ball. As we said, they went to the sectional semifinals. But their 2 big losses, Marcel Wilson, their receiver, and then, of course, Steve Frerichs, the tough quarterback who is now playing at SUNY Morrisville.
So, Anthony, I'm sure you agree that Coach Atlas will be able to map out a strategy to, be very competitive.
I'm sure he will.
it went right over your head.
Yeah, it did.
Atlas, map out a strategy.
All right, I get it.
Wow. I wish there's an eject button I could just hit. And
I guess,
boom,
he's gone. Had to be there.
It's too early in the morning for that, Raj. Go ahead, Francis. Let's continue.
All right, let's go to the South.
Yes.
Allegheny Limestone. They went 2-6 last year, but they suffered an injury to their quarterback, Thomas Kellen, in the first game of the year. So it was a rough year for them. When he came back, they won 2 of their last 3 games.
Sometimes it is so difficult to replace, if you don't have the depth. This is the one thing that the smaller schools face. You don't have the depth at the bigger schools. It's sometimes very difficult to replace a starter, especially at a key position.
Yeah, they return 6 starters on each side of the ball, and Kalen's father, Tom Kellen, takes over as coach this year. Chautauqua Lake, Westfield, Brockton, Thunderbirds.
A mouthful.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. They're going to be coached by Brian Bongiovanni. He takes over for Kurt Fisher. They returned six starters total. They returned Ryan Jafari, Caleb Shelton, Zach Barden, Ryan Baraboo, Brandon Rowe, and Nick Pucher.
Andrew Baraboo should be a serious contestant for the Trench Trophy. He was on. He was on their underclassmen watch a year ago. Number 99 for Chautauqua Lake. The Chautauqua Lake, that whole situation still boggles my mind, Anthony. Kurt Fisher was what, 225 and 49 over 25, 26 years, what it is. And they decided not to renew his contract because they want to go in a different direction. Why would you want to go on a different direction from a coach who was 225 and 49?
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
I'm missing something here.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to Casadega Valley Falconer. Falconer High School just installed a new turf on their field, and the Golden Cougars would nothing more than to play a home playoff game on it. They went 4-4 last year, returned six starters on each side of the ball, returned Jace Johnson, Colin Maurer, and Mac Muka. However, they do lose two really big pieces, Robbie Penhallow and Connor Crabtree.
Those names are very familiar from a year ago.
Fredonia, they of course have Jake Skinner, not Jeff Skinner, who had a fantastic offseason. They went 8-1 last year, fell in the Class B semifinals. They also return Alex Christie and Dalton Gardner. They do lose their quarterback, Dre Schwartz, and their running back, Joel Colon, who I believe was like a top five rusher last season. So I would imagine, I would still imagine Fredonia is going to be very good this year. They could be the favorites to win the C South,
especially
division.
when they're home. Their fans are so passionate. They're really into Fredonia football. So tough place to play when you're a visitor.
And they did get eliminated by Riggerman and the Pioneer crew. It's not like they got beat by a team they had no business losing.
Exactly.
They were very good.
Sure.
Very good.
Gowanda Pine Valley moves down from Class C North. They returned three starters. They went 5-3 last year. Their key returnees are Shelton Bellinger, Zach Phillips, Ethan Fort, Ray Nephew, and Everett Golden. And Portville, they're a team to watch out for. Josh Brooks enters his second year. They only went 3-6 last year, but they made it to the Chuck Funky Bowl Championship game in Class C. They returned nine starters on offense, 10 on defense.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going to be really loaded this year. QB Mike Stillman returns for his senior season. He'll be joined in the backfield by running back, linebacker Jaden last year, and senior Ronald Thompson.
Were they one of those teams that just got better as the year went on?
They got better as the year went on. They were very young. Coach Brooks sent his questionnaire. They were even pointing out they were very young that last year, and they gained a lot of experience. So they're able to carry that momentum into this year. Watch out for the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. You have that kind of numbers return, and you have to be considered as one of the favorites.
And then finally, the Southwestern Trojans have been the king of Class C South for a long time, and they may stay there. They returned seven offensive starters, nine on defense. Of course, we know they lose Cole Snyder, who's competing for the number three QB job at Rutgers, and Alex Card, who's playing the next level as well. But they could be okay. Sophomore Aiden Kennedy, he looked good at the Lancaster 7-on-7 passing. And what they did with him last year is whenever Southwestern got a lead, they would try to put him in the second quarter rather than wait till the end. Mm-hmm. So he got some bona fide snaps against some starters last year. So he could be in pretty good shape, and this Southwestern team could be, again, they return most of their starting lineup. Could be very good.
And they're one of those teams that, one of those schools, they put the work in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
There's no slouching around there. They put the work in, so it's never a surprise to see or hear that they are considered one
Jay
of the top teams.
Jay, who Crick will have them ready.
Yeah,
believe
absolutely.
Me when I tell you.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump into B4 before we start the go into our break. And this one is really interesting for me. Go ahead, Francis.
Yeah, so we had, Class B, again, 20 teams, four divisions, meaning their teams only need three wins to get into the playoffs if they do it against their league opponents. So keep that in mind this year. Alden, 1-9 this year, 6 starters returning. Of course, they have that blue, that beautiful blue turf that I know Tony
beautiful
hates.
Oh, God. No disrespect to you guys, but I can't handle a blue field. I'm sorry. I'm weird like that.
Yeah, right. Whoever designed that must be from Kentucky. What can we say?
Yeah.
They returned Lucas Bush, Jason Mason, and Joe Hammer. Next up, Burgard. They're coached by Jason Kolb. They went 3-5 last year, falling in the first round of the Chuck Funky Bowl. They returned 6 starters, including Brandon McNeil and Sincere Jefferson this year. They'll have a tough time replacing Dexter Lee and Antonio Norwood. Eden North Collins, coached by Rick Weber. They went 3-5 last year, just missing the Class B playoffs, but they returned 6 starters, and they feel really happy about their wide receiving core with Tyler Robinson, Brandon Halleck, and Hunter Stelts.
We should mention... Oh, you're not done with B4. My bad. Go ahead, Francis.
All right, this next team. The kid you probably haven't heard of, but you should have, Jaden Hears of Newfane. He led the section running among all underclassmen last year, running for over 1,200 yards, 12 TDs. Newfane went 5-4, won the Chuck Funky Bowl, returned 7 starters, including Hears, Josh Everett, and Dylan Finch.
Did you see the size of him, by the way?
I saw a picture of him. He looked bigger than I thought.
6'1", 240.
Jeez. That's a truck.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Wow. Go ahead.
And then finally, we'll go with Tonawanda. They're coached by Joe Kelly. Real quick story. They actually last night went down to Pennsylvania and watched one of their former players who had to transfer, unfortunately, because of family obligations. They actually... The coaches and some of the players took a 2-hour drive just to watch him.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can see that. I think that's on Facebook. Their coach, Sean Mangold, put that up. They returned 9 starters in offense, 8 on defense. They returned their fullback, Jason Fraser, and they've been on an upward climb since Joe Kelly took over this program. This team could be very good this year. They're going to be competing for this division, if not a playoff spot.
What I like is that they've brought their numbers up, and not only did they bring their numbers up, but they've got kids that have bought into off-season workouts, and I think that's super important, and that bodes well for them. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into more of the Bs. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11 o'clock. Lots of Bills talk to go on, so keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sorry about that. I was explaining to Francis some of my defensive calls that I'm going to use tomorrow. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11 o'clock. A lot of Buffalo Bills conversation going on here. WGR Sports Radio 550. Roger Weiss, yes, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just want to, Frank said something earlier about the...
Francis Beck, Roger Weiss. Roger Weiss, Francis Beck. Pleased to meet you.
Damn glad to meet you.
Class president.
From Animal House, yes. Remember that? Okay. You only have to win 3 games, division games, to qualify for the playoffs.
Right.
But after that's all said and done now, you have 8 teams, 4 first-place teams, 4 second-place teams. They also have crossover, what they call crossover games for their non-league games during the year. While they do not affect whether you make the playoffs in first or second, they will affect
your seeding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that
so,
makes
in
sense.
Other words, the crossover games, those will determine which of the top 4 teams are seeds 1-4 and which of the second-place teams are seeds 5-8. So all those games do have playoff implications to some extent.
Sure.
So there's no load management going on in Class B this year.
Exactly.
Okay, let's see. Before the break, we left off with...
We're into B3 now.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Albion, the Purple Eagles, went 8-1 last year, fell in the Section 6 Class B semifinals to, of course, Cheektowaga. They returned 4 starters, including Brilliance Johnson and Thomas Vermansky. They'll have a tough time replacing Bryce Pitchard and Eugene Harrison. DePue head coached by Mark Dorenzio. They went 2-7 last year, returned 7 starters, including P.J. Burns and Matt Russo. They have 2 big losses in QB Joe Pagano and Dante Dorenzio. Nate Kulish will take over at quarterback. Lackawanna, they're coached by Adam Tardiff. Remember, they had that big start to the year. I think their QB Jeremiah Kevinis broke a few school records. They went 4-5 last year, fell in the Class B quarterfinals. They'll have to replace Kevinis and Jawan Rodriguez. They returned Demarion Johnson, Javon Morales, and Drew Kowalski. Olean, coached by Vil Vecchio, 4-4 last year, fell in the Class B quarterfinals, returned 6 starters on offense, 5 on defense, although they'll have a tough time losing a kid named Alec Wigfall, who I understand was pretty good on the basketball court, if my memory serves me correct.
Name is familiar.
Springville, West Valley, our final team in B3, coached by Mark Hirschenberger. They went 0-10 last year, returned 5 starters. Their key players will be Nick Emick, David Thompson, Aaron Kesor, and Mason Field. They'll have to replace Big Peace and Sean Barry.
Go ahead.
That's it. That's all for B3.
B2, as I'm looking at a lot of letters in there. That's what I'm looking at. When we look at some of the combined schools, you really got to focus because you're breaking it down to a lot of letters with several schools combining. Which usually we see at the lower levels in C and D, not so much in B.
Yeah, they're starting 2 and B, so it just depends on numbers and everything. All right, B2. Dunkirk Marauders went 6-2 last year, lost in the Class B quarterfinals. They only returned 3 starters on each side of the ball, including Phil Messina and Devin Land. They have a big loss in Quatavius Cleckley, and they had one of the guy who was supposed to take over at running back, Tawan Wright, transfer out. He's now at Southwestern. Iroquois, a team that went 3-6. I thought they kind of maybe disappointed just a little bit. But they returned 11 starters.
They were quite young a year ago.
Yeah, they were quite young. Blake Yulin, John Poole, Karkin, Marchberger. So they're back. They should be better, but they do lose their quarterback, Ethan Herbold. Maryvale Flyers. Connor Desiderio is entering his 4th year as the starting quarterback for the Flyers.
I know. It just seems like he's been a QB forever.
He really has.
Great baseball player, too. Yeah. Tom Prince was here. He'd tell you that.
They returned 4 starters on each side of the ball. He loses a lot of key skill guys, including Rashad Law, Jay Henley, and then linemen Sincere Middlebrooks and Austin Majewski. They should compete for they should be the favorites to win the division still at this point.
Wait a second. Now, since I mentioned Tom Prince, I forgot to say this earlier. Happy birthday to Jordan Prince.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right, Medina.
Francis, is it just me, or it just seems that B2 is by far the toughest division in the 4 divisions? It seems to me that 3 of those teams, any one of them, could probably be a candidate for first place in any of the other 3 divisions. It just seems to be the most, how do you want to say it? I don't know if unbalanced is the correct word. But
well,
they did it
by school size, so, I mean, there's no other. They could have done it by geography. I know they look very strong this year, although you only have Dunkirk.
The fact that
returning.
One of those teams is not one or possibly even 2 between Dunkirk, Maryvale, Medina, and Iroquois. And having said that, I don't know how good the combined charter schools are, but those seem to be like some pretty good teams. 2 of which will not qualify for the playoffs.
All right, Medina, they went 4-5 last year. They're joined on with Lindenville and Barker. Now, they started the season 3-0, but in week 4, they lost a tough overtime game to Olean and lost their next 4 games. They lose about half of their starting lineup, including QB Isaiah Rim. They return Brian Fry and Tyler Chin. And then finally, in B2, West New York Maritime Charter Health Sciences, the Commodores.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. They'll be coached by Ty Parker this year. Charlie Comerford had to step away. He'll still be on the sidelines and as an assistant. They returned 7 starters. including John Washington and Gian Washington. I think they're going to be pretty good this year.
This is just their second season.
Yeah, it's just their second season, and they were in that tough A3 division last year with South Park, West Seneca East, and I think they played South Park, 12-0. You know, they were down to them only 12-0, so they could be very good in B2 this year.
All right, let's save B1 for next week when we'll get into B1. We'll take a look at A's, double A's. We'll talk playoff format and all that other stuff, things to look for. So there's a whole lot more coming up next week. And, as of course, we'll talk about the scrimmage Saturday, get you lined up, get as many of the games as we can. If you go to our Facebook page and you want to promote your scrimmage or you know who's partaking where, please post it there so that fans of Western New York football can get a glimpse, maybe figure out if they want to go watch a scrimmage next week or not. Best of luck to all the U teams who are starting this weekend. I hope you guys have a successful, safe, and healthy season. Most importantly, have fun. That's what this is all about. Having fun, teaching the fundamentals of football, and wins come after that. So best of luck to everybody out there. And we are done for the day. I'm on vacation, so I'm going to enjoy the week off, get in some R&R. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us. Nate Geary coming up next. A lot of Buffalo Bills talk headed your way right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.